We're live.
Evening, everyone. I would like to welcome you to the Monday, October 26th, 2020 meeting of the University City Council. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:31. For those of you joining us this evening, you will note that we have Linda Schaefer sitting in as our acting city clerk. I know on behalf of all of my colleagues and the city manager and the city staff, we would like to extend our deepest sympathies and condolences to our city clerk, Ms. Lorit Reese, in the passing of her mother, Ms. Linda Turner. So our prayers go out to Lorit and her family, and we want to thank Linda for stepping in and helping us out through this challenging time. If we could, Ms. Schaefer, could you please call the roll?
Sure. Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. You have before you the agenda. During our study session, we did not have any comments regarding changes to the agenda. Could we please have a motion to approve the agenda as presented? Motion to approve by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion or amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations. I believe you got, you received by separate cover minutes from some recent sessions. We have before us the September 29th, 2020 study session minutes. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the September 29th, 2020 regular session of the City Council. Is there a motion that those minutes be approved? Mm-hmm. Motion by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have the October 12th, 2020 regular session minutes. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion made by Mr. Clay and seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move to boards and commissions. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I just, Marion Reed is nominated for reappointment to the Commission on Arts and Letters.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Klein.
I would like to reappoint Christine Mackey Ross to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Thank you. Is there a second? Mr. Cusick has seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I would like to nominate Larry White to the Historic Preservation Commission.
Thank you. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing ins at this time. Again, I would like to thank all of our citizens for their participation, whether it be in their citizen comments or whether it be in the public hearings that have been open since the last session of the City Council. We realize that this is a challenge for many and for all, and we appreciate your forbearance and getting these comments to us. For future reference for everyone, again, you can have your comments into us by noon of the day of the meeting, and they need to make sure that they have your name and address as well when provided. So again, thank you very much. We will now move into the public hearing portion of the agenda. And at our last meeting of City Council, we had a public hearing for the Avenir project. And due to the number of citizen comments, we held the public hearing open and have held it open through this meeting. And we appreciate, again, all the public comments that we have heard from our citizens. And unless members of council have another reason to keep this public hearing open, I will close this hearing at 6:36 p.m. We now have before us our second public hearing, which has been kept open since the last council meeting. That is the map amendment for the Avenir preliminary plan. And again, we appreciate the public comments. The hearing has been held open for two council meetings. And unless I hear otherwise from members of council, I will close that public hearing at 6:37 p.m. Now I will move to open the public hearing for the 7800-7812 Groby map amendment. I will open it at 6:37 p.m. Ms. Schaefer and members of council have any comments that have been made, and I don't believe there are public comments that have been received for this particular hearing, and I will close this hearing at 6:38 p.m. Mr. Rose, can we move forward with the consent agenda? Is there any items that need to be discussed? Otherwise, I would ask a motion that the matters on the consent agenda be moved forward. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Wayne? No, who made the motion? I apologize, missed it. Tim, thank you. Mr. Cusick, thank you. Is there a second? I think it was by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Rose, I believe there is a city manager's report tonight, am I correct?
Mayor, no, we do not have any items up under the city manager's report tonight.
Thank you very much. We will now move to unfinished business. Ms. Schaefer, may we have the second reading, please, of Bill number 9412.
Yes. Bill 9412, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from general commercial, single family residential, medium density residential, and high density residential office to planned development mixed use district, and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. May we have the third reading?
Yes. Bill 9412. An ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classifications of multiple properties from general commercial, single family residential, medium density residential, and high density residential office to planned development mixed use district, and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much, Ms. Schaefer. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there discussion? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor. So I know we have two items on the agenda on this one. The first being this ordinance, and the second being a resolution. Steve and I had the opportunity this week to participate in a Zoom meeting with the residents, I think it was called by the developer. It was a relatively small group, but again, as I think you all know, we've received quite a few emails. So I don't know if we want to have all of this discussion up front right now or not, but I think now is probably the appropriate time. And I recognize you, all of you might not be on the same page as me with this. So I wanted to talk about the emails that we received. As you recall, and I know there are a number of people on the meeting who we've all received emails from, 2 weeks ago, there was a great deal of concern about about notice, about needing more time, more communication. And I believe it was me that requested that we delay consideration on both of these items before us tonight. And the mayor held public hearings open, which I have to say I don't remember happening outside of maybe the TIF hearings ever. And so this week, I just want to say for 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, I didn't hear anything until I had one phone call on this last Wednesday. And then we all started getting emails again. Steve and I were in this Zoom meeting with the developer where questions were asked and answered. Unfortunately, I was hoping it would have been far better attended. But where we are today is we got another 20 plus emails about, we need more time to process this. We need to have more communication and more dialogue. And I am 100% for more dialogue. And I realize that we are living in a very different time than we normally do, that we're having these meetings here. But I will also say that I've received a couple of emails, actually more than I think several emails, talking about the residents of this neighborhood, who I think Steve and I are very open to hearing the concerns regarding this project. And in one of the emails, it indicated that the residents of the neighborhood met through a Zoom meeting on Friday. And I am 100% for dialogue and communication, but I'm a little surprised that when our constituents wanted to have a meeting and when we're still getting emails about having communication and dialogue, that we weren't invited. I know Steve and I made ourselves both available on very short notice for the meeting that was called by the developer. I think Steve can chime in. I think he would have made himself available for the meeting Friday night. But I have to say, just candidly, I hear the concerns. I think that where we are right now is in a place where there are concerns that I think have been addressed. There are concerns that will be addressed, but receiving one-way communications 24 to 48 hours before a meeting is not really sufficient for a dialogue with all of our schedules, and particularly at the very end of the day. So my preference on this issue and with the resolution would be to delay consideration on this until the next meeting. That said, for me and for all of the people on the Zoom call, I want to hear from you. I know Steve wants to hear from you. We want to have a dialogue, but another delay of consideration cannot look like what we have had the last 2 weeks. And if there are neighborhood meetings where you are voicing your opinions and concerns, that's important to both of us. And we would like to be included. I think it would also be helpful for the developer to be present, especially if if that meeting time on Thursday when the developer held the Zoom meeting was not convenient for a majority of the residents, this is a process. This is a process that's unlike other processes because of the world we're living in right now. So I think there are a lot of potential benefits, but I think there's a big communication gap dealing with partially the environment we're in. But I would like to be a part of the conversations that the neighborhood is having. And I apologize for taking so long on this, but you know, we also received a number of emails that were very sort of form-based, which it's not uncommon. I've gotten other emails on different subjects like that before. But there are a couple of things that were pointed out that folks pointed to that I think is not maybe the most accurate information. And one of those that was pointed to was one email and a letter, which frankly, a number of emails referenced two individuals' letters and emails to the council. Neither of which I think either of us received, or any of us received until just today, one this morning and one this afternoon, some with attachments. And you know, one of them was, and I just wanted to bring this out publicly because this is why having a conversation is really, really important. There was a suggestion in one of these letters, which everyone was relying on, that there was no plan or anything to indicate where the developers' construction workers were going to park. And Steve, I think the city attorney was in the meeting too and can chime in. I remember very specifically in the meeting with the few residents that were there that the developer stated that the first aspect of any development project is the building of a parking garage, and that is where the construction workers would park after that were to be completed. That said, that's neither here nor there, because I think a lot of folks think that we are taking a vote to start construction tonight, and that's just not at all accurate. So I guess I'll defer to Steve on this for any of his comments.
Yeah, if I could go ahead, I had similar experience that Jeff had, that the meeting was, the public hearings were held open, and then I found out the developer then reached out to the residents by way of letter, and then he reached out to us and talked about how he had received the concerns and addressed them with Jeff and I, and explain kind of where he was. And then he said, we have a Zoom meeting set up and we were invited to that. And we attended that to listen and participate further. And then we didn't hear from anybody. And that was a little disappointing. I agree with Jeff that, you know, if the neighborhood wants to have a meeting, they don't have to invite us. That's fine. It's great that they're concerned, that they want to watch out for their interests and the concerns that they have. But it's hard for me to dig in on an issue that's raised 24 hours before the meeting. And one of the analysis that came up, there was a phrase in it that struck me. And so I had to do some research on it. And the phrase was, and I'm trying to quote it the best I can, the zoning must revert to the original zoning of a single resident per section 47020 part B of the ordinance. So I read that section, and it doesn't mention anything about it. And so I'm scrambling to say, is it in another section? Was it misquoted? Was it just a mistake? What's going on? But if we had some of this before, we might have been able to talk about it and work through this. So I'm happy to have those discussions. If our planning commission and missed something, we want to know about it. If the recommendations aren't accurate, we want to know about it. So I'm fine with that. But when I read it and it doesn't seem to fit, and it's the day of the meeting, I'm kind of in a tough spot to say we should stop all this because of that, because it doesn't seem to jive with what's going on. But that being said, I'm more than happy to see the responses, the concerns, the developers come back and address things, I think, quite well. At the meetings, he talked about traffic and access. And Jeff mentioned construction parking. Went through a lot of that, and I think he's really trying to do his best to meet the concerns of the residents as we go forward. But in that regard, I just wanted to make sure that we were all kind of clear on the process, that one, the new business that'll be coming up, the resolution, that's not the end. There's still a process after that. And so concerns can continue to be met and talked about further. As it relates to the bill that we're talking about now in unfinished business, I did have a couple of questions, and I guess to go to Mr. Rose, the change to the zoning change to the medium density, not medium density, but the planned district, is that a tool that helps the city in planning now that multiple parcels with different zoning categories can all come into one place? Is that, regardless of the project, does that help the city?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember McMahon, certainly having ownership up under one owner of multiple parcels is a benefit to the city because we have one individual to deal with when it relates to trying to develop that area. So yeah, that's a major benefit to us. And typically, as we've learned from the Novus project, is perhaps the most time-consuming part of any development project.
And just to be clear, I mean, as I look at those areas with the different zoning regulations, as they stay now, if we didn't make any changes, and the person who owns them, part of it's commercial, general commercial, the owner of that property could look to just any kind of general commercial category. They could put up a fast food restaurant without having to ask for a zoning amendment change that would have a public hearing, and it could move much faster than what we're doing now. Am I missing anything on that?
I don't believe so. I've got the planning director, Mr. Cross. And Mr. Cross, can you speak to the land uses that are permitted?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you. To address your question, Councilmember McMahon, you're absolutely correct. When you look at the underlying zoning that exists there, you have multiple classes. You have a highly intense HRO residential zoning classification that allows for elevator apartments and your multifamily developments. But for your general commercial classification, you're right, because what you have is in each underlying zoning district, you have what's identified as permitted uses, which have basically been predetermined. And as long as they meet building requirements and curb cut requirements, landscaping, whatever it may be, those are permitted by right. And those only come through staff. Those would not go to the planning commission, nor would they go to council, nor would they be part of a public hearing process. Now, you do have some conditional uses that are also identified under that. And those are more your auto-oriented, like, maybe a auto sales facility or something like that. If they fall under that conditional use category, then yes, you would have the CUP where you would have the public hearing before the plan commission, and ultimately it would come to you as a council for your review and approval or denial of the request. But the short answer to your question is yes, there could be a lot more intense uses there than what's being proposed as part of this development.
And I don't know what the developer has in mind if this doesn't happen, so I can't comment on it, but I just know that that was a possibility. And then the other question that I had before we move on is given what I noted that they were raising questions about this change in density, and I was just wondering through Mr. Rose, what's the confidence level that you have that the ordinance that we have were applied to this in the manner that we're supposed to do it? Yeah. Do we, are we confident in the process that, that got us to where we are right now?
We believe strongly that we went through a process was appropriate for this type of development. Certainly things have changed since the codes were written that makes it easier. Good example that the planning director shared with me is that we have a GIS so we can pull information off more quickly and it's more accurate than perhaps what 30 years ago, what the developer may have provided to us. So we believe that the process that we went through was appropriate.
Thank you.
If I could follow up with a couple more questions after Steve's comments. The other thing I think needs to be fleshed out a little bit with both the amendment and the resolution is, particularly on the resolution, I'm getting a little outside of this particular ordinance, but the resolution is for the approval of the preliminary plan. And I was hoping that either the city manager or the planning department director could sort of explain what does that mean in terms of where this is in the process and what other steps lie ahead.
Mr. Cross, would you like to respond to that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, you're absolutely correct. So when you evaluate a plan development like this, there's the two actions. There's the actual map amendment to the PDM or PDR, whatever the district is. And really, it's really just a hollow shell. It's an avenue to bring the plan in with the specific components of the plan that are done on it. So what happens is after the map amendment is done, it's a PDM, but then you have the preliminary plan for the plan development. That really gives the developers, so to speak, the confidence that the plan is accepted by the city in a sense through that preliminary plan process. So they then now can go out and do all their legwork, you know, obtain all the appropriate reviews and approvals either through St. Louis County, MSD, whoever it may be, do all their legwork. Once they get all that done, then they come back to the plan commission with what they call a final plan. The final plan basically is a double down, so to speak, where it shows that everything that's been done to prepare for the construction is consistent with what was approved with the preliminary plan. That then comes to council, you review it, you approve it, and then it's recorded. It's really runs the same path as like a subdivision plat, where you go out and get a preliminary plat, then you go out and start to get your infrastructure and everything ready, then you record your final plat. The ordinance specifically states that no construction can take place until after the final plan approval. So the preliminary plan in no way starts the permitting process. That has to come after the final plan approval.
Thank you. And as a follow-up, one of the common threads, and I think we heard it Thursday night in the Zoom meeting with the developer, was concerns over, and I've already mentioned, construction parking. One concern was construction hours. I know we have an ordinance, but as part of a redevelopment plan, does the city have the ability to build into that the concerns of the neighbors, and particularly the neighbors who are going to be very, very, very close to that? I know there was concerns about construction starting at 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. and further. Can that be included to not just be the hours of allowable work, but the hours of like when you can come and stage? Because sometimes I think in the past we've seen folks show up well before the acceptable hours of work, start offloading heavy equipment and being a disturbance. I mean, what is on the table as far as working with both the developer and the city working with the residents to, should this move forward, ensure that the disruption is minimal?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, yes, you can include that type of information as a condition of your approval. I don't know, Mr. Mulligan, Mr. Cross, do you know the best approach to take for including that type of information?
Well, and John can, you know, chime in. Yeah, what you would need to do as part of your an approval, you need to incorporate conditions that are attached to it. And with this, what you would need to do is in any motion that you make, and this goes back to your point where you get more community engagement, that way you might have more ammunition to come back with the conditions that you think they need. But you could incorporate those conditions in any motion that you make that are part of the preliminary plan approval.
Okay, thank you. And I have one last question, and that just is about the aspect of the requested abatement with this project. It seems that from the emails I've received and certainly the phone calls I received 2 weeks ago, I didn't receive any phone calls today, that there's some confusion as to the request. And I was just hoping the city manager might be able to explain a little bit, which I think you did in the last meeting, but the process on the abatement request and evaluation of that consideration. And is that part of the preliminary plan that is on the agenda right now?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, no, the abatement is not a part of the preliminary plan that you're considering. It will come through independent of this, the zoning action that you are considering currently. And as you may be aware, we are looking at a consultant to provide us with recommendations on what, if any, abatement would be appropriate for this proposed development.
Thank you. And then I'd just like to ask anybody else if they have a question. Otherwise, I'd like to make a motion.
If I have questions, they can make it after your motion as well if there's there are additional questions and comments. So I think if you'd like to make your, because I still have comments I'd like to make, and I'm happy, though, to entertain your motion at this time.
Okay. Well, I will say again to my colleagues, and I realize some of you may not be in support of this, but given some of the new questions that were asked, I would like to make a motion. Actually, let me back that up. Also, to the many residents who I appreciate are on this Zoom meeting and on the phone, to you, again, I would like to, and I know Steve would like to have these conversations. And so I'm making this motion as I talk to you that I would like to have that Zoom call. I think Steve would like to have that Zoom call and talk through some of these issues. I think it would be helpful for us to be there from a process standpoint. I think it would be helpful for the developer to be there from his perspective and standpoint. But to have the dialogue that so many of you have been requesting. So with that, I would like to make a motion to delay consideration of this ordinance for 2 weeks, or I should say until the next scheduled council meeting, which I believe is 2 weeks from today.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember House, the motion would include until November the 9th council meeting. Correct,
November the 9th, yes.
Motion before the body. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion, which of course can include additional questions of staff members or of colleagues? Anyone? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to find out, Jeff, and well, both First Ward Council members. My question is, I would like to assume in that there is going to be a meeting and that the developer is going to be a part of that meeting, because in the letter that we received from the developer recently, it seemed that the people that did attend their meeting were pretty satisfied with their with the results and the questions that were asked. So I just want to hope that we can have a meeting can be scheduled with the developer so that more people can attend that meeting and try to address those issues, because we seem to get quite a bit more emails in today and, you know, within the last couple of days. And so apparently there are people that did not attend that meeting on Friday and still have questions. So that's what I wanted to make sure, that we delay this and make sure that there is a meeting that that we all can attend and their questions can be answered.
Point well made. Mr. McMahon.
My understanding is that's what we're shooting for, Councilman Smotherson's. And the only thing I would add as we discuss the amendment here is that we do want to listen to our residents. And that's why I believe Jeff is making this motion to move another 2 weeks for communication. But I want to let the residents know as well, as they're listening, as Jeff was pointing out, that we are listening and we are reading and we're trying to work our way through this. It is something we've all lived with. Just my own personal experience with this, I lived through the condos being put on North and South. I lived on Gannon when the condos were put on North and South at Gannon. I lived through the mansions being built when I lived right over there within walking distance. I lived through the Walgreens being put up on Del Mar. I live within walking distance. I will live through the Crown Center renovations and expansion. I will, if there's anything that goes forward on the projects on the east side of 170 at Del Mar, I'm going to live through that. There's an urgent care that's looking to move in at Old Bonham and Del Mar that I voted for. I live through this stuff just like you do. And sometimes I have to look at it and say, well, is it my preference or is it going to be good for the community? And it's a tough, tough decision. And that's why we want to have these dialogues and conversations. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks. And I would like to make a few comments. And I first want to thank the city manager and his staff for how they have worked through this process. And I appreciate our citizens who have given us a great deal to think about. For the most part, they've been, I think, right on point, and I understand their concerns. A couple of things I do want to take issue with, and we had a couple of the emails who said that they expected us to give the entire city notice. Well, I will tell you that we're not going to do that. We didn't do that for a 52-acre site at Olive and 170. We have not only followed the rules that we are bound by as far as development, we have expanded them to give more people notice and to give people more time to express their concerns. So I do feel very comfortable with how we have handled this. I think keeping the public hearing open again, I did it during the TIF when we had more people at Olive and 170 who wanted to speak. We kept it open. And I've done it for this project. And I don't believe you can come up with hardly any other projects during my tenure on council where we have kept public hearings open for this long of a period of time. I hope you will also all bear in mind that when we did the Hawthorne School conversion, we did it with appropriate notice, public hearings, and we moved forward. When the COCA expansion occurred at the east end of town, we did the public hearings, we moved forward, everybody got their notice. When Kingsland Walk occurred, the same thing. Mansions on the Park, the Vanguard. When the condos and apartments that Councilmember McMahon was talking about on North and South, all of these came through with public hearings, with notice, with comment, and then we moved forward. We want to make sure that everybody is heard. I will support moving to postpone this, if you will, or move to the next meeting this time around. But I really do hope that there is actual conversation that includes all parties, not just cutting and pasting and sending your city council member things that have come through. We had one comparison to us to Clayton, which was not very complimentary of University City, from a citizen who's lived in Clayton for a long period of time that took issue with our planning process. And to that comment, I would say, I think all you have to do is look at the Centene development right now, and I'll hold steady with how our process is actually working. We have been accused of rushing this process, and we have done just the opposite. There has been no rushing whatsoever. We've held the hearing open longer than any hearing that any of us can remember for a project of this size. We realize that there are density issues. We realize that staff and the Planning Commission have worked through those and the setback issues as well. Some have talked to us about abatement. We have heard you on abatement. The abatement does not have anything to do with this action this evening. But I also want to go into a broader context. When someone says to me in their email that I love going to the Starbucks at North and South, I love going there, but don't dare put it in my backyard. That's probably not the best message to send to the rest of the city or to your council members. And finally, like it or not, our city was developed as a residential community, and we have paid the price by not having commercial development. We are continuing to try to grow our tax base. And as Steve mentioned, there will be an urgent care likely at Del Mar and Old Bonham. There is likely to be another senior living project moving into University City. And we know that Olive is likely to continue to expand eastward as the Olive and 170 project gets underway. So it is likely that more construction will be occurring. And we want to make sure that we give everybody the opportunity to express their concerns. And again, to have dialogue with your elected officials and with the developer. So with that, are there other comments to be made by members of council? If not, we have a motion to, is the word postponed until the November the 9th meeting. Am I correct?
Yes.
There's a motion and a second. There's been discussion. Is there any more discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion to extend to the November the 9th, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? And Mr. Mulligan, I'm assuming that even though this is an ordinance, that a motion like that can be done by voice vote and does not need to be done by roll call.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. So we have now taken care of bill number 9412. We will now move to bill number 9413. Madam Clerk, may we have the second reading?
Bill 9413, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of 7800 and 7812 Groby Road from single family residential district to limited commercial district, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. May we have the third reading?
Bill 9413, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of 7800 and 7812 Groby Road from single family residential district to limited commercial district, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion?
Mayor, I just like to point out, if I could, that I think that this would be a good fit for that area. This is the former church, and it would make a nice building, whether it would be using the building or the property for the commercial purposes. I think it would be very good for that area, and I would be happy to see this bill go through.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from my colleagues? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much. We now move to Bill number 9414. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9414, an ordinance amending Chapter 120, Article 1 of the University City Municipal Code relating to commissions, authorities, boards, and committees by enacting therein a new section to be known as Section 120.160, certain persons related to city employees ineligible to serve.
We have the third reading.
Bill 9414, an ordinance amending Chapter 120, Article 1 of the University City Municipal Code relating to commissions, authorities, boards, and committees by enacting therein a new section to be known as Section 120.160, certain persons related to city employees ineligible to serve.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve?
Move.
Motion made by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'm supportive of the concept of this bill. A little concerned about the timing of it. Would like to offer an amendment to allow for a grandfather of any persons currently in this situation. I'm not exactly sure of the language, obviously, but do you get the gist of what I'm saying? An amendment to allow for a grandfathering for this bill.
Question, or is that what is that?
I'd like to offer an amendment.
Mm-hmm. So you're making an amendment to the
bill for, because it's my understanding that it would take place if this bill passes, that it would the provisions would go into effect immediately. Is that correct?
Is my understanding, I think the city manager can respond to that, but it's my understanding that unless I'm incorrect, that if this bill were to pass, the city manager and his staff would do a review of commissions and determine if conflicts exist. Am I saying that correctly, Mr. Rose?
Mayor, that is correct.
And if a conflict exists, and if you are grandfathering that conflict in, I'm not sure that your amendment may do what you would like it to do, but I'm not sure it addresses the situation of if you have a conflict on a commission.
Would it allow for a scenario where someone could complete their term and then this goes into effect? So going forward, you could not, from the passage of this, you could not appoint anyone who had the relationship that's articulated in here to a commission, but it will allow anyone in that situation currently, if there is such a person, to continue with their term.
Turn it over to Mr. Roach for this, but again, I would think that you've put a pretty long delay on any conflicts of interest that I don't think is probably what his objective is in putting this ordinance forward.
Yeah, Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I believe that the purpose for the bill is to, in the future, resolve potential conflicts of interest that may emerge, but also a current situation where it may not be a legal conflict of interest. It is certainly a perceived conflict of interest that exists. So that is why the bill has been proposed to the mayor and council for consideration.
Okay, I see. Well, I'd like to go forward with a vote on the amendment, and then we can move forward from there.
A motion made by Mr. Clay to add a grand, for lack of a better phrase, a grandfathering clause to Bill number 9414. Is there a second? There is a second by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Mr. McMahon.
It sounds like they're saying this will apply to new appointments only, but then that leaves a gap for anybody that changes their marital status in between now and whenever. So there would, you'd have to tweak that a little bit then. And then you'd also have to kind of think about, do we need to then have recusal rules for anybody that would fit into this category, so that they're not voting on things during this process? And that just opens up a whole nother can of worms that we'd have to have. Has anybody ever recused themselves on a council, on a commission, beforehand? And this is, I mean, I think this is just one of those things that we need to look at. And maybe we didn't have this rule because it never came up, but now we see it, we've recognized it, and we have to have the rule. Just like us as public figures, we have rules that apply to us. And, you know, my son lost the job at the pool because it was outsourced and he could work for the company that it was outsourced to as a lifeguard. When it came back in-house, he couldn't work there anymore because of me. That's kind of how these things go. So a volunteer, if they can't serve on the commission because of one relationship, there may be other volunteer opportunities for them. That's what I'd have to say.
Do we?
Bills?
I'm sorry, Steve. Steve just kind of threw my train of thought off, but I'll see if I can regain what I was thinking.
Mr. Smotherson.
Quick question. Councilmember McMahon mentioned that. Do we know how many, I'm sorry, this may have been city manager roles, but do we know how many conflicts there are that we've identified?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, certainly we are all aware of at least one. We would intend to go through all of the boards, committees, and commissions to ensure full compliance with the ordinance if it is approved.
Thank you, I found it. So the amendment that's being offered, does this then require the, I mean, I don't, what would the language be, as Steve chimed in on, and would this require this to be rewritten and then reconsidered? Or is this being proposed sort of on the fly and bake it in?
Well, Mr. Mulligan can speak to the actual mechanics of it. I know we've done amendments in the past. So I think we would need to wordsmith the language, yes. I don't know if we can approve the general concept. Essentially, this is applicable to new appointments only, to Councilman McMahon's point. I don't know if we need much beyond that. There may need to be more, and I acknowledge that. But I'm going to defer to Mr. Mulligan's exactly the mechanics of what needs to happen.
To Mr. Mulligan, fine to address?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Something, okay. If there's a grandfather clause, I would suggest that it be in section two of the bill, which addresses when it takes effect. And so there'd be a motion to amend section two with the language that you're proposing, and then a motion and a second, and then council would vote on that, and then the bill would be amended accordingly, and then the council may vote on the bill as amended.
So we have an amendment proposed by Councilmember Clay, and I believe we've had discussion, and I would say that again, I believe we would leave it to the city manager and his staff to identify any potential conflicts of interest. Yes, it is clear that we recognize we have one, and I do believe that we have hard choices to make. And I believe that adding a grandfather clause to this particular bill will simply cause this conflict to occur for at least another 2 years. And I don't believe that's what we were elected to do. So could we please, we have a motion before us to amend. We have a second, we've had discussion. Ms. Schaefer, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Councilmember McMahon.
Nay.
Councilmember Hales.
Nay.
Councilmember Cusick.
Nay.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Yay. Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Nay.
Mayor Crow.
I didn't hear what she said.
Alita, were you a they could not hear, were you a nay or an A?
Nay.
Nay. The amendment has failed. We now have before us Bill number 9414 as presented. Unless there is additional discussion, Mr. Smotherson.
I do have a question because I do apologize to all of you for the position that we're in and having to do this. But I also wanted to clarify, Councilmember McMahon mentioned this, and that is that we may have to add recusal laws and all of that. But what I wanted to understand, and please help me understand this, what is the conflict? What would be the conflict? And this may be a question for the city manager, because I'm not sure I understand. And if you could explain that, because I just want clarification on what the conflict is, what that conflict would cause. Because on commissions, we have members of commission and that are vote as a group. So one single person, I mean, no matter how powerful that person is, it's still one single vote. And so the majority vote is what dictates and makes that recommendation. Council then makes we set the policy. So again, I'm trying to understand what that conflict would be and how that would benefit an employee, regardless of what their position, how that would benefit as an individual specific employee.
I'm sure that Mr. Rose wants to answer this question, but please understand in my mind, there's a difference between having a conflict of interest and successfully having a vote one way or the other. There is a conflict of interest, whether or not you're in the majority or you're in the minority. The conflict still exists unless you're either not having the conflict or you recuse yourself. Whether that person wins the vote or loses the vote, that does not solve the conflict. The conflict still exists. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, in order not to get into a personnel issue, I'll talk briefly in a bit of hypotheticals. And so if you're on a commission such as the Park Commission, you have a relationship, a marital relationship with an individual working in a department, let's say in the Parks Department, for example, you as a commission, there are two at least perceived conflicts of interest. One is you will have greater access to information than what your colleagues will have. Simply because of the relationship that you have with an employee that works within the Parks Department. Let's say you want to have information on what does it cost to do a particular renovation to a park. You can ask that employee that question because that employee is your wife. What is that information? Well, you're getting that information, but the entire commission may not get that. So again, hypothetical, but access to information is questionable as to whether that's a fair and open process. The other conflict that would exist is, let's reverse that. Let's say that a member that works in parks has a wife or spouse on the park commission, and they believe strongly that improvements should occur within a particular park. And so they go around the director and go directly to that spouse to have them inquire about making improvements to a park. Well, that certainly is an inappropriate process to go through, maybe albeit legal, but still inappropriate in the sense that it creates a conflict that they are going around, both in that instance, the director, as well as the city manager. So it establishes a system that is wrought with being unfair to the members on the commission and to the other staff. So those are the two areas where I think that the greatest conflicts could potentially exist.
Yes, sir. And I do appreciate the answer, and I just wanted to make sure I got that, have that explained. But also, I just simply wanted to say one more thing and just leave it alone, and that is that a strong friend, a good friend, could fit that category. Am I right?
Not the way the ordinance is drafted. Nope.
Right. Only other than not being married, a strong friend, a good friend, could fit that category. So that's all. And I just wanted to just kind of, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I wanted to just circle back to, I think Steve mentioned it and the city manager mentioned it. To me, I think the issue of perception is very important. I think this is a very important conversation to have. And I will just preface this by saying, I do not want to amend what's before us tonight, but you know, as we're sitting here with still, you know, almost 30 attendees, I would pose the question to all of you, is this something that separate from tonight, we have a discussion about this type of thing with members of council and their spouses? Because if one of us had a spouse on the plan commission, for instance, there would be, I think, arguably a perceived potential, in all transparency, perceived perception of that doesn't look good. So I think it's an important discussion to have. I know how I feel about the ordinance that's before us tonight, but I do think this warrants even broader discussion in the weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, I think you don't want to. Any other questions or comments? Ms. Klein.
I just wanted to say, you know, that I've struggled with this a little bit and never want to, you know, have anyone feel like anything's personal in any way. But I voted against the amendment because I feel like this, you know, if there's a conflict and it becomes an issue where people are complaining and having problems with what's going on, I think that that's something that needs to be resolved. If nothing were a problem, there weren't any conflicts with this situation, we wouldn't be here. So, you know, I just think this, I just wanted to explain that because I think that there are people that might, you know, feel like, oh, this is, you know, a personal thing, and absolutely not.
Any other questions or comments? If not, Madam.
I'm sorry, Mayor Crow, I'll make a statement after we vote. So I just wanted to make a statement after that. So that's all. I just wanted to make sure you're aware before we move on, but I'm ready to move forward.
Okay. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on Bill number 9414?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Nay.
Councilmember Clay.
Nay.
Councilmember Klein.
Yay.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Thank you very much. The ayes have it. The bill has passed. Well, now, Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Mayor Crow, again, to the city manager and to the council and to the mayor, I do want to put, again, apologize about this situation and where we are. But I simply wanted to say one thing because it did make me reflect on myself. And so what I want to do is officially ask the mayor to remove me from as council liaison for arts and letters, because there is a conflict. I feel that there is a conflict and I am a working musician. So I just wanted to announce that and ask that the mayor reassign me and remove me from arts and letters, because that would be the right thing to do. And I just wanted to make that known and publicly state that. So I wanted to leave that to the mayor.
We now have before us resolution number 2020-15. Is there a motion to approve? I think there needs to be a motion, and if you're going to want to delay it, you can delay it, but I think you need to get the motion on the floor before you, just so you know. I think that I see a whole bunch of hands up now, so I apologize, but just protocol-wise, I'm assuming that I have a Mr. McMahon and a Mr. Cusick, but I do not want to put words in your mouth. Is that appropriate? I have verbal okays from both of them because their hands did go up. We have a motion to approve and a second this resolution. Is there discussion? I think we all recognize that this is, and again, I think probably just based on the conversation that we had earlier this evening, I'm assuming that most of my colleagues want to hear from the first ward council members. And is this paralleling bill number 9412 and we're going to delay, or do we move forward? Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, I think it's parallel to what we had before. As the meetings progressed, I've seen a number of emails already coming across my phone asking for meetings. So I think we could delay this to, I'd move that we delay this to November 9th as well.
Second.
There's a second by Mr. Hales. I think my colleagues, everyone feel free to ask any questions, but I think we probably got our bites of the apple probably some time ago on this. But I welcome any discussion or questions that you have. Seeing none, there's a motion to delay until November the 9th. All those in favor of delaying, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. The resolution is postponed until November the 9th. Moving on into council reports and business, are there reports from any of my colleagues? Hearing none. Are there any council comments this evening? Mr. McMahon.
Very simply, vote.
Mr. Cusick.
Yes, sir. I want to say that as well. Remind everyone that the election is next week. And I received several emails, and I understand that all of my fellow council members and as well have received emails from residents concerned about any type of peaceful protests and that those people would be protected. And I have not had a discussion with Chief Hampton, but I am very convinced that the chief will, on top of issues that may come up with any peaceful protests that occur in University City up to the day of the election and even the days after. And in fact, the polling places, the St. Louis County Board of Election Commissioners has been directly in contact with the chief of police, just making sure that the police are aware of the different polling places. If you are going to go out on election day and vote, please remember to wear a mask and to be properly social distancing yourself. And there are still places that are open if you want to pre-vote. I believe many of the libraries, and you can check out the St. Louis County Board of Election Commissioners website. And everyone, please get out there and vote and be safe. And thank you.
Goodness said it better. Thank you very much for reminding everyone to go vote. Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I didn't realize on the boards and commissions, the Plan Commission has been working having a number of planning study session type meetings. As I think you all remember, I did request that they actually take a look at the abatement issue and requests in the September meeting. They've started that process and are working their way through it. I think they've had three meetings now. I think it's a really terrific group on the Plan Commission that is very, very focused and very engaged and very interested in this, as well as all of the topics that come before them. I agree with everyone on voting. And finally, I do want to thank all of the people who jumped on this Zoom tonight, particularly from the Del Price neighborhood. And I hope that this is the next 2 weeks result in a very productive conversation and discussion and dialogue, because I think when we do talk through issues, we do work through issues, and these short back and forth and email type communications they've been helpful, but I think we've been limited, given, as I said, the time that we're living in with COVID, to our ability to converse. And that's obviously no one's fault, but I do appreciate the emails that I've received as well in the time since. And I look forward to those meetings and hopefully a couple of Zoom calls. So thank you.
Hi. Very quickly, I'm going to follow the lead of my council colleague, Council Member Hales. I've neglected to talk about the library board meeting, so I apologize. Just very quickly, there was discussion surrounding the renovation and some of those things beginning to begin. As we know, the city, our residents approved of a bond issue for the library, and they have been delayed by COVID, but they are moving forward with that planning. So we're glad to see that moving forward. One thing I encourage our residents to contact our library. I have to admit, I am surprised at the variety of services they provide beyond just getting books. They in fact serve as a point of contact for those seeking assistance with Medicare open enrollment, which is, I'm not even sure how that actually works, but they are a point of contact. So if that's something you're interested in, contact the library. But I would say more generally, it is a tremendous resource, and they do a lot of things that I don't know if everyone, certainly I'll use my iVoice, I was not aware of, things that they help facilitate and services that they provide. So that Medicare enrollment I thought was really interesting given our senior population, but more generally, again, contact your library. I think they're doing a lot more than you might think.
Anything else? Hearing no other comments, I would request a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, litigation between a governmental body and any confidential privilege communication between that governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Would you please call the roll?
Yes, Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. To all the members of the public who have watched this evening, thank you very much for taking part of your evening and joining us. We appreciate it. To members of council and to the staff members that will be staying, if we can start our meeting in 5 minutes, that would probably be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.